I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Palmetto Championship. And joining me to break it all down, it's Greg Ducharme. Greg, good to have you, bud.
Hey, good to be here, Rick. I'm excited. Palmetto Championship. We saw Congaree one round underway. All good stuff. And we have, of course, after this weekend, we have the U.S. Open to look forward to. So exciting times in the game.
As we record right now, the vast majority of the players are done. The afternoon wave finishing up, so I will make note of any guys who are currently out on the course. But let's talk about the course, Greg. We were just kind of going back and forth before we went hot, and I'm enjoying it. You know, maybe the afternoon wave didn't enjoy it because the course played much more difficult in the afternoon. You could see it firming. You could kind of see it getting much faster. But I think that is, the real storyline this week so far has been this course.
Yeah, a unique piece of property. It's unlike anything else that we see on the PGA Tour. And it's I would say the challenge of the course is something that they do see on tour, but not every week. So it is pretty cool to watch. And you could really see, as you pointed out before the show, Rick, how much the course changed throughout the day. So I would expect tomorrow morning, I would expect the course to be softer than it is this afternoon, but not as soft as it was this morning. So I think the morning wave on Thursday got the biggest advantage. And you'll see the course firm up maybe even more than it did today. Tomorrow, they're expecting some winds, gusts up to 22 miles an hour or so, which is pretty high. So when you get wind and sun and 92, 95 degree heat like they're expecting tomorrow, it can get firm fast on those sandy conditions.
Yeah, to put numbers to it, the morning wave played about a half a stroke over par. The afternoon wave about 1.25 strokes over par. So 3/4 of a stroke is a pretty significant difference from morning to afternoon. And I think producer Jacob pointed out the observation that I had, Greg, which is these guys are in the middle of the fairway. They're taking divots and sand is exploding from these divots. This place is like entirely sand.
Yeah, well, you look at the native areas around the golf that are not in the fairway, and it's all sand. So what's underneath the grass? Sand. And sand, so that's what you're going to get. But sand creates a great playing surface. It really does because it drains really well. You think about like Low Country, South Carolina, where I went to college. It was not sandy at all, and it would get very swampy. You'd get plugged balls, and even when it get kind of hot and humid, it would never really firm up. The course never would get firm. And I think it's really fun to see a sand-based course like this because it does get so firm, because the ball does roll on the ground. To give you an idea, Rick, like when I was down at Medalist, every week they top dressed. They top dressed the greens every Monday. And the purpose for that was so that they could maintain the firmness, even in humid conditions at times. So sand is a great way to get a golf course to be firm. Golf course like this, sand. The other thing is, too, when you're filling divots in Florida, very common, you just put sand in them. And the sand, it soaks up the heat even a little bit more. And that is how the grass regrows. There's no, in many of the courses in Florida, it's not like there's grass seed in there. They just put sand down and it attracts a little bit extra heat. So that will make the the course even firmer when you all you have underneath the grass is sand like that.
Let's assess this leaderboard. There are currently three golfers in the clubhouse at 6 under 65. Two of them went out this morning. Let's talk about those guys. And I'm very tempted to dismiss the number one player in the world and talk about my buddy Doc Redman, who is currently atop the leaderboard. But we'll start with DJ. He has the honor here. Okay, number one player, 6 under 65, Greg, in which he made 6 birdies. He had 0 bogeys. He drove the ball like DJ. He putted the ball. It looked like he was in a fairly complete control of his game on this Thursday morning.
Yes, complete control, which is very nice to see. Kind of a patient start. Watching that leaderboard, he's making par after par after par, and you're thinking, is DJ going to struggle with the putter again? Is this just... And I'm not sure if he struggled with the putter, but it wasn't like he got hot with the putter. He just got hot with his ball striking. He just started to hit it close time and time again. And this is the mark of a world number one kind of a talent. When you can be just when you can make 66 feet of putts in a day and yes. shoot 6 under, and it doesn't feel like you got everything out of the round. That's the mark of a guy who can carry on. So in the model, looking forward, projecting this out to for the remainder of the week, and you could argue even into U.S. Open, this is the guy. This is the model. Impressive stuff from DJ.
I'm wondering if those U.S. Open numbers have moved yet. Might have to check out what DJ's U.S. Open number is. I think he was 14 when we talked about it on Tuesday, maybe. Does that sound right? 14-1?
Yeah, it does.
I'd have to go check. But I think that's what he was last time we talked about it.
Yeah, we got to look into that because you might want to make a move quickly here before.
Yeah, well, our friends at Data Golf have Dustin Johnson winning this golf tournament 25% of the time. That's a lot for there's three or four or five guys at 6 under already, and we're one round in. That is a huge number. The other thing, and this illustrates your point, Greg, Dustin Johnson had a 7-hole stretch on Thursday where he did not have a birdie putt outside of 12 feet. When you are putting on every hole from inside of 12 feet, you are doing something right. And he gave us a classic DJ quote afterwards. He said, and I quote, "I don't know. I just hit shots. Wherever it goes, it goes." That's DJ.
There's such a beauty to that. DJ in the media, I do think he gives off a little bit of a... he portrays something that isn't 100% true, but there's a lot of truth in that. And it's that kind of caveman golf-like approach that allows him to be so resilient. It allows him to flip the switch, as we say, and go from a guy who looks like he's in struggling form to a guy that looks like the number one player in the world overnight. At least it's overnight through our eyes. So it is amazing. There's a beauty to it. And that simple approach, I think, also makes it really easy to repeat, to play a great round after another great round. It allows him to play very well in difficult conditions. So there's so many things that are very positive that a mental coach would try to get you to do as a player. And Dustin Johnson does those things so well and has forever.
William Hill has Dustin Johnson at 16-1 to win the U.S. Open. That number will not stay there, especially if he continues on this trajectory this week. The other man who shot a 65 this morning, my buddy Doc Redman, and he did it with birdies at 12, 13, 15, 16. Doc has been slowly starting to turn the corner. The beginning of 2021 was not the start of the year that he wanted, but I do wonder, Greg, and we kind of mentioned this earlier in the week, this is an opportunity for a lot of guys in this field to just be licking their chops, an opportunity to take advantage of a weaker field before a major championship where they still hand out 500 FedEx Cup points. They still hand out jobs. They still hand out $1.3 million to the winner. And all of these guys not named Dustin Johnson near the top of the leaderboard are certainly eyeing those things this week.
Yes, and it's so easy to look at this and say DJ's the best player in the world. He's going to go and win this tournament. You start looking at some scoring averages between the best player in the world, the 150th best player in the world, and it's such a small margin. It's such a fine line. We talk about how the line is blurred between a Korn Ferry Tour player and a PGA Tour player. Well, an upper echelon PGA Tour player and a regular PGA Tour player, that line is blurred as well, especially when you shrink the sample size. the small into one round, into four rounds, one tournament, it can be really hard to differentiate between players. The long over time, you stretch that out over time, we really get a good idea of who the best players are. And that's why the official World Golf Rankings go on a 2-year cycle. But you look at Doc Redman, your friend, he actually, believe it or not, Rick, came on A New Breed of Golf yesterday morning.
And he got the new breed of golf bump.
Yes, he did. And you know, when you do that, when you come on the first cut, when you come on A New Breed of Golf, anything like that, you're bound to play well. So I keep your eyes open in the betting markets, and you see one of those guys as a guest, and you bet him hard. But Rick, he gave me something really interesting. I think you'll find this interesting. He said in this slump that he was in, he kind of started to try to get a little more distance. He tried to hit up on the ball a little bit more with the driver, and he kind of got away from his own game, which is one of the best ball strikers in the game, one of the best ball strikers in the world. And I look at what he did today, and he hit all 14 fairways.
Yes,
his driving distance is tied 123rd. And this to me, he hit 13 of 18 green. The ball striking kind of came back today. And that's a sign of a guy who's going back to his own identity. He was kind of teeing it up a little bit lower, hitting a go-to fade, getting the ball in play off the tee. And that's where he succeeds. And it's clear that today that was the recipe.
He would not be the first or the last guy to mess up their swing by chasing distance. Just ask Rory McIlroy about that. Longest guy in the game, Rory McIlroy, trying to chase distance.
Yeah.
The other guys at 6 under. So Chesson Hadley is in the clubhouse. He just finished his round. He had a great quote afterwards. He's missed 5 cuts in a row. He had mentioned that he's been bleeding strokes off of the tee, in position, of course, to make the cut this week, barring something crazy happening on Friday. EVR, Erik van Rooyen, 6 under with a hole to play. He's playing his final hole of the day in West Roach. Also at 6 under, he has a handful of holes to play. So again, these are not household names, Greg. I mean, West Roach, for example, he doesn't even have enough rounds to qualify for stats this year. If he did, in strokes gained total, he'd be about 185th. But these are guys that have a lot to play for this week, and they're certainly not going to just roll over on this leaderboard.
No. And the guys too at the top, I also notice Chris Baker, a Sia special. So he's down there too. We talked about him a little bit on Monday. But anyway, the thing that I love about these tournaments, you see just how good these players really are. And there are so many of them that are really good. And even if you're a Chesson Hadley and you've missed 5 cuts in a row, you're still capable of shooting 66, and you're still capable of winning on the PGA Tour. So the way the tour works, the model, the way that you can earn a tour card in 1 week is a really cool thing. I love watching that story. The other thing, Rick, is these guys near the top of the leaderboard, they've taken a lot of pressure off of themselves. They do have to go out and play well tomorrow again to contend. Mm-hmm. But if you're like Brooks Koepka and you're going to go shoot over par on one day, if your bad round is the first round, it puts you now have to go out and play great on Friday. Where these guys in the top 10 and even a little bit further down the board, I'd say the 3 unders are included in that. They have a sense where they can play the right shot at the right time. They don't have to press at all tomorrow. And it's a big advantage. So I give a lot of props. I give a lot of lean to the guys that played really well today going forward in the week.
Speaking of Brooks Koepka, because you brought him up here, he did not. So 1 over par, he is currently 1 shot off the what would be the current cut line. That is obviously going to change over the course of the next 24 hours. But he gained over 2 strokes from tee to green. He gained off the tee. He gained on approach. He bled strokes on the green. Greg, 2.5 down on the wrong side there with the flat stick, which has been at times the one thing that has held him back.
Yeah, and he missed a couple of short putts today, and it gets you frustrated when you hit the ball pretty nicely and you're putting the ball in play off the tee and you're giving yourself scoring opportunities and you just can't take advantage of anything. So the short game, he bled a little bit in the short game as well, leading to a couple of bogeys. He made a double bogey, which with all the clean cards out there, today was not the day for that. So, Rick, I think it's a little bit disappointing. He's definitely behind the eight ball, but the good sign is that he's striking the ball nicely. And Brooks Koepka can he can get hot. He can handle the pressure of, hey, I got to go out and play great tomorrow. He can handle that. And going out tomorrow morning, I think, will be a big advantage. He can make a cut. It's a good sign when you see his golf ball fading. That's the thing that I'll be watching for the rest of the week. I don't think at one over, I don't know if you can win at this point. You may be too far back to win already, which is crazy to think. But what Brooks can do is give himself a lot of confidence heading into next week, which, hey, those are the only events he cares about. So
that's what I've heard. Okay, well, we're going to try to find out who can win this golf tournament after 18 holes, because that won't make us look silly at all. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
And we're back. Pulling up the odds at William Hill, Greg, it should be absolutely no surprise that the number one player in the world, who is currently, at the moment we are speaking, tied atop the leaderboard, is your heavy favorite. He is plus 225. The next closest, or the next shortest odds, EVR and Harris English are both 12-1, Doc Redman at 16, and Johnny Vegas at 18. Not a lot of established winners, certainly behind DJ. And you know what the scary part is about Dustin Johnson for the rest of the field, Greg? Not only did he play great in every single category, he played the three par fives, even par.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Is he just gonna torch this thing?
I don't know if he's gonna just torch it. I do think he's gonna win. I really do. I don't know, Rick. It's hard for me to put words to it because I think this is kind of important to him. I think he's tired of playing poorly. And so there may be a little bit more focus with the U.S. Open coming up. A lot of attention has been drawn elsewhere. Not that DJ's looking for attention, but guys have been getting too close to that world number one spot for him. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's a little bit more motivated right now. Maybe he's found something on the greens. But I mean, two and a quarter to one?
Yes.
Plus 225, a quarter to one after one round is, those are short odds. I don't know. It might be worth it.
They're very short, right? It's the number one player in the world. He's atop the leaderboard, but there are a lot of guys. I mean, this is one of the things where, you know, if DJ goes out and does DJ things, or he just shoots, you know, has this B minus game for the rest of the week, is that good enough to win? Or can one of these guys, can a Wes Roach have a ceiling week? Can a Doc Redman have a ceiling week? You know, three more rounds of this. Doc is 16-1. You go a little bit further down the board, Tommy Fleetwood, who still yet to win here in the States. He's three shots off the lead as we speak. He's 22-1. So I guess the good news, Greg, is if you just want to fade the Dustin Johnson victory, you're getting great odds on everybody else, because William Hill has essentially said DJ's winning this thing.
Right. And there's such a real possibility that he doesn't win, clearly. I mean, if Dustin Johnson has a couple of pedestrian rounds, if he hits the ball just the way he did today for the next 3 days and putts just okay, he might not win. I mean, you're going to have to make birdies. You're going to have to shoot some scores out here to win. Another guy I'm looking at, Ian Poulter at 28-1, is a guy who's hitting the ball much better. At the Charles Schwab Challenge last week, he had his best ball striking performance of the year with his irons off the tee, tee to green. It wasn't his best off the tee, but it was his best approaching the green. It was his best tee to green, and he's a great putter with great short game. So conditions get a little tougher. I think that could benefit in Ian Poulter, and he's playing for a lot. He's playing for a spot on the European Ryder Cup team. So it's an important year for him. You know, he's motivated. Harris English, another guy that I think could really make a charge. You don't know. It's so deep right now. There are a lot of guys. DJ is going to have to play well in order to win. And it sounds so silly, but you look at those odds and it doesn't really indicate that. And I still think it's going to be a challenge for him to win, even though I do think he will.
I'm glad you brought up Poulter. He's 28-1. He stole a stroke out there. I think he made like a 50-foot putt from just off the green, but he only gained a half a stroke putting, and he was phenomenal from tee to green. 3.44 on the positive side from tee to green. If Poulter does that, that's the scary stuff, right? He's usually so reliant on the short game. If he's at all a positive gainer on approach and off the tee, I think he can contend. He's that type of short game talent.
Yeah, I got him at, you had him at what, 3.44?
Yes.
So I think that's 17th. I think that's 17th in the field, tee to green. When he's positive, to your point, Rick, and it's not all short game based, it's a really good sign. And I think he's extremely motivated to win. Remember what he did in the Houston Open, his only PGA Tour win, but it was with his back against the wall to get into Masters. And he wins when he has to. And so this is a guy who I think plays really well with his back against the wall. And I think he feels a little bit of that with the Ryder Cup looming this year. There's that extra focus, that extra drive. It puts a little bit of the extra pressure that Poulter seems to need to thrive. And I think he's going to do it for the rest of the way.
All right. I think I'm going to put in a doc bet and a Poulter bet tonight.
I really like a doc bet too. I do. I think he's confident. I think he's comfortable here. He went to Clemson. He's comfortable in this kind of heat, this kind of conditions. And I think he's getting back to the statistics from today. Tell me one thing. What he told me in an interview tells me the exact same thing. And when those two things align, it's a good sign. So I think he's riding on some real confidence with the ball striking.
I love it. Would get him into Torrey too if he went out and won it. So there you go. We'll see.
There you go.
All right. That'll do it. We will be back after round two, round three, and round four to cover the rest of the Palmetto Championship. But for now, let me thank producer Jacob. He does all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there, that's Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD. And you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.